Good morning, church. See, you do get a Kate in the pulpit today. You just get the amateur today. I've been a Baptist and member of this church since October 5th, 1957, nearly 60 years, which means I've been having to clarify, defend, and explain the word Baptist for nearly six decades. When someone asks me what church I belong to, I usually say I'm an American Baptist, not a Southern Baptist. I'm the same denomination as Martin Luther King Jr. That usually satisfies the interrogator, or else scares them away from probing any further. It's very frustrating that Southern Baptists have given the Baptist name a bad reputation. I grew up in this church during the baby boom years, so there were a lot of kids my age for Sunday school and church activities. Beth Peterson was one of my, she was a year or two older than me, but we still got to do a lot together. I was baptized right there when I was 12 years old. That was another thing I had to explain to all my friends who had all been baptized as infants, that as Baptists, we dedicate babies, but leave the decision to be baptized up to the young person as they become mature enough to make that decision themselves. I remember one or two of the kids in my baptism preparation classes who decided not to go through with baptism at the end of the classes. And there was never any pressure exerted on them to be baptized and no shaming or shunning of them afterward. Their decisions were respected. This core belief, believers' baptism, is one I find very wise, and I think it empowers young people since they need to really think about their faith before making this decision. Owning your decision of whether or not to get baptized is important, and the process to get to that decision can really deepen one's faith. Another important part of being a Baptist, especially here at Underwood, is the importance of relating faith to issues of social justice. The founder of this church, Enoch Underwood, took great personal risk by becoming active in the abolitionist movement back in the 1800s. He had runaway slaves on his farm in Waukesha as they made their journey to freedom in Canada via the Underground Railway. He had the courage to act on his beliefs and faith. During my childhood here in the 1960s and early 70s, I saw members of the church take stands and action on civil rights issues regarding race and gender equality. Joyce Johnson's family was one of the first African-American families to join the church back in the 60s, and they enriched the congregation in so many ways for nearly five decades. Many people in the congregation were actively involved in furthering racial integration, and they were important role models to me and other youth. It's an unfortunate reflection of our current society that racism is still a major issue that our church is discussing and acting on. In the 1980s and 90s, starting under Pastor Reed Turlson's leadership, our congregation began having an annual joint worship service with Mount Moriah Baptist Church near 4th and Center, which has a predominantly African-American congregation. We alternated meeting at each other's church one Sunday every spring and then had a luncheon afterward after the service so we could really get to know each other better. Those were very meaningful and memorable Sundays, and the music was really great. Unfortunately, as pastors and congregation members changed at both churches, this tradition has faded away, but it may be one that we want to revive. Also, during my years growing up here, the women's rights movement really took off, and Underwood was again out in front, hiring our own Kathy Hanold as the first female associate pastor of Underwood, although she told me this week it may have been because they could get her cheap compared to a man. It took nearly 40 more years, but in the early 2000s, Underwood hired its first female, as well as our first African-American, interim pastor, Trinette McCray. And it's been all ladies ever since. Trinette was followed by our first permanent female pastor, Jamie Washam, then interim pastor, Karen Sundlin, and most recently, Pastor Kate Fields. I know that many parents here, including me, are glad that their sons and daughters were and are able to witness women, including a gay woman, in the position of pastor. In the 1990s and early 2000s, LGBT rights became a focus of this church under the leadership of Pastor Alan Newton and then Jamie Washam as our church became welcoming and affirming. Jamie was the first Underwood pastor to preside over weddings for gay, lesbian, and transgender couples years before they were legalized by the state and federal governments. Love triumphed, and I was proud and happy to be at those ceremonies. The fact that our congregation has the autonomy to openly discuss and take action on these topics should not be taken for granted. Many denominations dictate from on high what the beliefs and policies are for individual congregations, leaving no room for discussion or dissension. Sometimes our discussions here get heated, but at least everyone is given a chance to be heard. When our son Jordan was a freshman in college, he often took part in late-night discussions with the other young people in his dorm, I'm sure after all their homework was done. Inevitably, the topic of religion came up, and he really shocked a lot of them when he told them that his church had a woman pastor and several gay, lesbian, and transgender members. They couldn't believe it. They said nothing like that could ever happen in their churches. It really made Jordan appreciate that Baptists have the congregational autonomy to hire the pastor of their choosing and form their own constitution, governing body, and bylaws. The final Baptist bedrock principle I want to mention is separation of church and state. This has become increasingly important to me in this highly charged, often toxic political era we live in, where some churches and pastors have no qualms about promoting or criticizing particular politicians. To me, this is wrong. History has proven time and again that combining politics and religion is dangerous to citizens. I don't want my pastor telling me who to vote for, and I'm glad I belong to a congregation where diverse political views coexist and are mutually respected. A case in point, during the 2012 presidential election season, a longtime member of the church, Jim Christensen, was housebound due to medical problems and couldn't get out to vote. Pastor Jamie went to City Hall herself to ensure that he got an absentee ballot, even though she was quite certain that he would be voting the opposite of her political preferences. She knew how important the right to vote is, regardless of political or religious affiliation, and she did not want that denied to Jim. I'm proud to be a Baptist. With our heritage of believers' baptism, local congregational autonomy, maintaining the separation of church and state, expanding membership in the church and leadership roles to everyone, regardless of gender, race, or sexual orientation, and living out our faith by constantly working towards justice for all. These tenets were exemplified by Jesus in his life and teachings. Baptisms were performed on believers who chose to follow Jesus. He stayed separate from the government, even as many people wanted him to grab political power. And he intentionally reached out to the oppressed and marginalized in society to show that the kingdom of God includes everyone.